yourself. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for another opportunity to look at your word and to be able to gain a word from you and for you, Lord. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. But before my memory escapes me, and especially as we're talking about free and freedom, I want to let you know that there are some grapes that our brother Jorge Lopez, who's worked with us down at the pantry, he came by earlier and dropped off a few cases of grapes. So on your way out, as we're talking about freedom and free, grab yourself a little bag of free grapes on your way out. Amen. And remember your freedom in Christ. Amen. I'm free, praise the Lord, I'm free, no longer bound, no more chains holding me, my soul is resting, it's such a blessing. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, I'm free. Every free person has a freedom song. You think back to the Egyptians as they were in bondage in Egypt. And as God finally, it says that God heard their cry and he raised up a prophet to go out before Pharaoh and tell his people, to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. And as he allowed them to escape, allowed them to even get to that Red Sea experience as they cross over dry ground to their freedom, they sang songs. They praised God. We remember Moses and Miriam and all of them just jubilant, excited about the fact that they're free. We've got a song for our country as we recognize and remember freedom, breaking away from Great Britain and their tyranny. And there are many songs, Independence Day songs, the Stars and Stripes, and many songs that talk about and sing about that. But I think some of the songs that sometimes we forget, some of those Negro spirituals. You know, I remember last week, the 19th. I don't know if that was last week, 2 weeks ago, but not too long ago. We were remembering when the slaves finally heard that they were free. And you remember that there was an Emancipation Proclamation that made the slaves free, but many hadn't heard of that freedom message. And so it was just something that was just on paper. But yet the message had to go out. And someone had to hear about their freedom that was bought for them, someone paid a price for their freedom. And even in this country, there were many that gave their lives for the freedom that we now enjoy today. And then, of course, we think about the freedom we have in Jesus Christ and the fact that Christ came. Someone had to pay for our freedom. We were in bondage to sin. We were chained up to sin and to its penalties, and yet Jesus comes to bring us great freedom. The source of our freedom, Christ. John 8:36, it says, so if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. And that's talking about us being enslaved to the system, this sin system. You know, I don't know if you know, but even when we're born into sin. That doesn't mean that God is going to cast us away from him automatically, but that means we have a propensity towards sin. No one has to teach me to sin. No one taught me to say a lie. No one, you know, all those things come from this sinful nature that we're already in. And so us being now in this sinful nature, we can get frustrated, just like Paul got frustrated. The things that you want to do, sometimes you don't do. The things you don't want to do, sometimes those are the things that you do. There's a great frustration being in this fleshly body of sin. But yet, we've got a remedy in a person named Jesus Christ who comes to remedy us, to break us free from this bondage of sin. Romans 6:18 says, you have been set free from sin and have now become slaves to righteousness. It's telling us now we're leaving our allegiance to our own cravings, our own desires, and where that it leads to. But now, because of what we have in Christ, now we become slaves to Christ. And I'm telling you that there ain't nothing wrong with that. I know we hear slavery, but Paul oftentimes in his greetings, he calls himself a bondservant. He readily made himself a servant of Jesus Christ, recognizing that it was the greatest master we could all serve. I don't know if you know this or not, but all of us are servants to something and someone. He said, I don't serve anyone. Well, I guarantee you when you go into the job is telling you something to do, right? And if you don't do it, hello. This government of ours is telling us things to do, and we are to be obedient to those laws. We are to be obedient to those things. In every institution, there is something that you're going to, unless you're the head, the top of the totem pole. Can I say that? I don't know. All right, don't cancel me. You understand what I mean? If you're at the top of the hierarchy. It doesn't, and even then, you're never at the top. First of all, God is always looking down. I don't care how high we think we can get. And usually you're subject to whoever, your constituents, your customers, or whatever. It's never all about you. Jesus comes to give us something that we cannot do for ourselves, to set us free, to now recognize us that we don't have to be slaves to anything else, but submit ourselves to him, and through him, he's going to give us the great freedom that we're going to talk about in a little more. Then second, we're free from the law. I want to say this about the law, because sometimes when we think about the law, we think, the law was useful. The law was good. The law teaches us. The law helps us. When we look at the law, I don't want you to look with distaste. I want you to look at, these are the things that God likes. These are the things that God dislikes. These are the very things that we ought to try to model in a lot of ways, in most ways. There are some things that have already been fulfilled. But for the majority, I think that when we look at the law, we shouldn't look at it with distaste. It's part of this book is a continuous theme. So I can't come to the end and then disregard all everything else. The law was our schoolmaster. It was teaching us the things that God likes and that God doesn't like. But yet there was a system in there that was never meant to save man. Jesus has always been the system, the scheme of redemption from the very foundation of the earth. He was what all men were waiting for in Jesus. And what we have is the back end to see the fulfillment of it. They didn't have all of that. We have the fulfillment. We're able to now look backward on what Jesus already accomplished. But here's the big part about it. What we have in Christ is greater than anything in the law. Greater than. I mean, if you think of the book like Hebrews, it's really teaching us greater than. Jesus is greater than anything in the law, all the symbols in the law, all the different types in the law. Jesus is greater than that. The fulfillment, that's, we've been waiting for Jesus. And now we have freedom. And I think that's why Paul was so hurt. If you look in Hebrews 10 and at the beginning, he starts talking about the fact that the Jews that should have known Jesus, should have recognized Jesus, should have understood his Messiah and who he was, He says they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. He's in pain. Because they're zealous, but they weren't recognizing the freedom found in Christ. All right, back to my lesson. Living out this freedom, what difference does it make now? Well, the difference that it makes is that now, because you're free, you're obligated to live differently. Think about, and sometimes this is a little scary too. I want you to think about the law, for instance. The law told you exactly, like, don't do this, don't touch this. Matter of fact, there were laws, if it says don't touch this, there were laws that help you protect from even getting up close to touching it. Man-made laws, but there were laws nevertheless in the eyes of many of the Jews. And so now you're saying, look, now you've got freedom. You've got freedom in Christ. You've got freedom. And for some, I want you to think of our children, for instance. Yeah, some of y'all, I really see y'all thinking now. They go off to college. They've now experienced freedom for the first time. And you know that there's a lot of different degrees of trouble that they get into once they experience their freedom, right? Some can't, some don't, some you see them rise to the occasion and they continue that responsible way. And some you go, I would have never thought my daughter or my son, what? You see, some of y'all ain't laughing because that was you. Okay. I know. I won't confess on myself this morning, but that's all right. When we're free, there's also obligations to having that freedom. Here it says he's given us this freedom, not that we might indulge in the flesh, right? Don't use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping one command, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, it kind of reminds me of what Paul was saying in Romans chapter 6. You know, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He's saying, should you continue sinning so you can get more grace? Some people are saying, look, you sin more, God is gracious. You sin more, he's so gracious, he just graciously forgives more. So we're actually helping God out when we sin, because it gives him something to forgive more and more and more and more, because he's so gracious. Isn't that silly sounding? You see, it does sound kind of weird, but there are some that were adopting that type of mentality. And you say, of course not. You've been freed not to go back to the same old mess. You've been free and clean and unchained and unhinged and let, you know, broken free from those restraints. So now you can go experience your true freedom, freedom to love. Now these remain faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. As we look at the motto of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're called to follow in his motto of love, in the same way in which he cared for others, as he looked out for the interests of others, as he provided for others, as he came not to be served, but to serve, as he sowed that with his whole life, even to the very death on the cross. How to love others? He gives us that model. Freedom to serve. He says, you, my beloved brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. No, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law is fulfilled in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love has always been the key. Love for God, love for God's people, love for humanity has always been the key. It has not changed, right? These remain faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. In other words, it has always existed. It will always exist. It is always key and foundational. Then lastly, stand in this freedom. Stand in this freedom. You know, when you have something that is so important, you've got to stand on it. You've got to protect You know, when Paul was charging the elders at Ephesus, he warned them, look, grievous wolves are going to come in that are going to try to subvert the flock. They're going to try to hurt. But what do we have to do? We have to, the elders need to, the elders, the deacons, the ministers, the congregation, everyone needs to be on guard. Because we've got to stand firm on God, on God's word, on the truth of God's word. We've got to stand firm also on the freedoms that we've been given. I know in our fellowship, oftentimes there's a lot of fighting about a lot of different freedoms, and sometimes we want to sometimes replicate the law again. Sometimes we forget that we've been freed from this law system, and what in the new covenant we're trying to build that same system back up. No, we're freed from that, but that doesn't. Once again, that freedom comes a responsibility. Responsibility to continue to learn, to teach, to share, to grow in the things of Jesus Christ. A responsibility to learn sanctification and how to continue to be more and more like the people that God has called us to be. And in encouragement and the chance for us to continue to share that model, share that love with the world. You know, there's a world that's out here to try to knock us down, to try to stamp that light out, put that light out in our lives. Remember the light that glorifies and points souls to Jesus Christ by the things we do? They want to put that out. But we've got to stand firm on it. And we've got to continue to proclaim the freeing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's the key. There is a world around teaching so many differences. What do you need to do to be saved? What do you need to do to come into Jesus Christ and all these type of things? And some just say, look, all you got to do is believe. And if you believe, you're saved. Well, once again, that's not what I read in the Bible. I want to share with you what we read in the Bible. In the Bible, Jesus told his disciples, go to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, you know, teaching them and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I command you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the world. Thank you, memory, for coming back. Okay. Y'all know I just turned 51, right? I have a little excuse. Nevertheless, our job is to teach. Our job is to share the good news. If you found freedom in Christ, you have an obligation to share that good news, to tell someone else how to be free also. Amen. Maybe there's somebody here today, you need to hear that message. What do you need to do? What do you need to do to be saved? What do you need to do to have that freedom? Well, I'm glad you asked, because there were a nice group on the day of Pentecost that needed and asked that same question, what they needed to do to be saved. You know, Peter got up and he started preaching and started sharing that Jesus died, that Jesus was buried, that Jesus rose. In essence, he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to a crowd for the very first time after Jesus had told him and his disciples, wait until they were empowered from power from on high in Jerusalem. And then at that point, they would go out and sharing this message. And so they started sharing this freedom message on that same day. On that same day, when people, after Peter preached the message that regarding Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection, there were people, it says they were pricked in their hearts in verse 37. They asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter told them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He didn't tell them anything different. And so today I won't tell you anything different. If you're ready to come to Jesus Christ, if you're ready to be saved even on this morning, won't you come ready to receive Jesus Christ, ready to submit yourself to him, ready to surrender in baptism to Jesus Christ? And at that point, Jesus is going to do exactly what he promised to do. He will wash away our sins. Acts 22:16, he washes away our sins. in the watery grave of baptism. In this watery grave of baptism, as Romans 6 shows us, it's us replicating what he did. He died on the cross. He was buried in a tomb. He rose on the third day. We die to our sins. We're buried in the watery grave of baptism. We rise to walk in newness of life. What we're doing is replicating what Jesus did. That's why baptism, it can't be sprinkling. It can't be pouring. It can't be no baptism. No, baptism is us reenacting what Jesus did. And if you're ready to receive what Jesus came to offer, are you ready today to submit and surrender in baptism to him today? If you're ready to make that choice, the water is ready. Everything we have is ready. If you're ready, won't you come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation?
Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not your heart. Oh, be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Tomorrow sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time, oh then be wise. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Oh, will thou be saved? Then why not tonight?
You may be seated. And now Brother Walter will come and close us out, or Elder Walter will come.
Good morning. Domingo, thank you very much for that lesson. For, you know, on the theme this week of freedom, that through Jesus we have freedom from sin, freedom to live a new life, to share the God's love with others. A reminder, we have our bilingual service next Sunday, so let's have as many people as possible here. Also, we had a service day at church. We had about